Hi there, and good morning, everybody. This is Holly Madrigal, and I am helping out this morning with local election coverage. And we are going to be discussing Measure D and Measure E that will be on your ballots here in Mendocino County. And I am joined this morning by Supervisor Ted Williams of the 5th District and retired Fire Chief Ted O'Brien.
Ed O'Brien.
Oh, sorry, Ed. I got my confused. Ed O'Brien with the Mendocino Volunteer Fire Department. Thank you for that. And I want to make clear that I'm not taking a public position on this issue. As the director of a program called Leadership Mendocino, we are an apolitical body, but we want to make sure that Mendocino County residents are well informed about the issues that are going to be coming up for them. So to do a little bit of background, and then I'm going to have Ted and Ed sort of give us some context, Measure D is a measure asking the voters if Mendocino County Code 5.2 will be amended to authorize collection of transit occupancy tax on short-term visitor campgrounds and recreational vehicle rentals. So currently, transit occupancy taxes are already collected on hotels, inns, and B&Bs, and this would close a loophole and include campgrounds into that. And so voters will be asked both whether or not that should be created, extending this transit occupancy tax, and whether there will be a supplement. There's an advisory vote only, and we can get into what that means, that if Measure D is passed, should that money go to help our local fire departments? So I think that sort of lays it out. I do want to let the listeners know that we will later on be welcoming opposition viewpoints, so we'll certainly have open lines. But if I could welcome you two to weigh in and say how you got involved in this.
Well, I got involved as being a firefighter in Albion, later a fire chief, and recognizing that thousands of incidents around the county are responded to by volunteers. And these volunteers who train weekly, go to calls daily, are also asked to hold bake sales to raise money for the same purpose. Mm-hmm. And at least we can do is support them with good tools and good training. There are a lot of incidents that are related to visitors, traffic collisions, people who don't drive windy roads typically, cliff rescues, mm-hmm. people who don't know to stay back from the edge of the cliff, they're new to the area, water rescues, it's usually not locals getting lost at sea, usually it's visitors, medical aids at inns, the list goes on. We're asking residents to pick up the tab for those visitors, and we know we need more financial support for fire departments. Today, if I, as a Mendocino County resident, if I go to Sonoma County and stay in a campground, I'm subject to their bed tax. But if they come here, it doesn't apply. So we're trying to close this loophole and earmark 100% of those funds for fire.
And this was mentioned, but one of the things about the transit occupancy tax is that it is a blanket tax currently across all hotels, so you're not charged more if you go to one hotel. So it is a financial burden because that is a tax that they have to pay, but at the same time, they're not able to avoid it so that their neighbor, you know, a competing hotel also has to pay the same amount, you know, has to pay a similar amount. So it's
kind of interesting. It's one of those things where taxes are going to be raised on all kinds of things, and I personally don't like the sales taxes so much because sales mm-hmm. taxes have a tendency to make people pay when they're just barely getting by. This is when they're buying T-shirts for their kids or something like this. They're throwing money, extra money into the governmental. But what really happens is that when you're on a vacation, you're getting these services for free because mm-hmm. even though there is a bed tax in the hotels, the fire departments don't generally get any of it. This goes into the general fund. This has been a pet peeve of mine for many years. These people, they are paying mm-hmm. this tax and they're staying at the hotel, I should say hotels, but they're not giving any money. None of that money is going to the people who are helping them for their medical or, as Ted said, you know, the cliffs and such like this. So But that's something that has been going on for years, and there's no changing in that. There's not going to be any ability to get that redirected right. to the fire departments. But this tax will. And that's what's really important to me.
And Ed, you mentioned, well, actually, Ted mentioned that, you know, you'll have to do these, you know, big sales. And I know it, the Mendocino Volunteer Fire Department also does fundraisers. This is a way to access visitors that are helping pay for that, not just the locals.
Doing these extra fundraisers is an extra stress, mm-hmm. an extra burden on the fire departments. So they don't have to just go and train. They don't have to just go out in the middle of the night. But then they have to go and raise the money. So this probably won't stop that. But what right. this will do is it'll give them $35,000, something like this.
Potentially.
Correct?
Well, so we should talk about how the money will be allocated.
Right. Sure. Yes. And it's mentioned in the measure that this will go to the recognized fire agencies of Mendocino County. So if we could also clarify which ones are the recognized fire agencies.
It's all of the fire districts and Westport Fire, which has been maybe too poor to establish mm-hmm. district.
Right.
And I know there are probably a handful of outlying, you know, three guys in a pickup, and we definitely want to make sure they're somehow included in the mix. Mm-hmm. They're not formalized as fire departments, but they still play a role. And whether, you know, an example is Turtle Creek, mm-hmm. whether they get support from COMSHE or directly from the county, we're not quite sure yet, but this tax will be allocated to those 21 recognized local fire agencies.
Okay. And so it's estimated that this could potentially raise $1 million a year. How would that be, if the advisory measure is approved, how would that be divided?
75% of that $1 million would be divided evenly between all of the local fire agencies. The remaining 25% would be at the annual recommendation of the Fire Chiefs Association. The idea there is there may be some benefit to collective purchasing power. Mm-hmm. Say the fire chiefs decide we need a better firefighter one academy. Well, instead of all 21 trying to do a piece of it on their own, they may use some of the pool of funds to do it right for the entire county. Other years, they might decide to simply divide it 100%,
right.
even splits, which would be about $48,000 per fire department. Ed, you may know, when was the last time we saw this significant of a contribution to volunteer fire?
Yeah, this is something that doesn't come along very often, and it's really important for the people to recognize that this will go to their local fire departments. Even if you have none of these facilities in your area, these people will still be driving through your area, and it's a good way to get this kind of money into the right people's hands. And I think the Fire Chiefs Association also does the fire trailer, which is something that gets passed from fire department to fire department, and it's not important for one to own it, but mm-hmm. but to have it available. And it's a very, very good tool. You get to actually go in and experience a good amount of heat, a good amount of smoke, and it's a controlled environment.
Right, that's a training trailer.
Yes,
right.
Yeah, sorry. And and it's just, if you ever get a chance to watch it, there's a safe room within it the person who's controlling it. And this is the kind of a thing that the Fire Chiefs Association can purchase, keep a good one going, and get it out to the different fire departments.
Okay, so this brings up another concern that I would like to ask you two about, which is that, is there a concern that it should this pass, and should the fire departments be splitting this, you know, potentially $1 million a year, is there a concern that the public might think that that will solve the needs of the fire department, which we know is well beyond $1 million a year to help support your organization? So is there a concern that people might think, oh, well, that's taken care of now?
There's always that concern that when people send their check to us and say thank you very much for your work, that solved all the problems. But generally, they recognize a truck is $300,000. The insurance just to get firefighters out for workman's comp, is $20,000 to $30,000, and so this is this money will be spent on the basics. It will not be the extras.
Right, and the continual advancements in training, training, insurance, all of the equipment and gear is constantly evolving.
Yes.
So you can't just rely on, you know, the things of the past.
And this is also an issue of fairness. It's an issue of fairness with the people who are at a small motel. They're paying a tax, and the people next door are in a Winnebago or something like this, and they're paying. So it makes it so that everybody's paying into the service that they're getting, theoretically.
Right, absolutely. So in preparing for this conversation today, I did try to explore opposition viewpoints to this. And so one of the concerns that had been brought up was that campgrounds, that we have a homeless crisis in California, and, you know, you could say the United States, and that campgrounds tend to be a lower cost option for people, although it certainly is temporary. It's a temporary living situation. I don't know if anyone has any thoughts on that, although my understanding from the measure is that this would happen, this would be in effect to all of the campgrounds, so it wouldn't specifically disadvantage one over another.
Actually, by state statute, we're not allowed to apply the tax to the state campgrounds.
Right, so the campground, and the state campgrounds would be unaffected by this.
And the state campgrounds have significantly lower nightly fees. Mm-hmm. So anyone who is homeless, we predict, imagine, would be staying on at a state campground, not a private campground. Additionally, anyone who stays for 30 days or more is not subject to the TOT. Mm-hmm. Anyone who has an agreement to stay for 30 days, even if they're on their first night, is not subject to the TOT. And so it was definitely a concern of mine that we don't hit the people who are borderline homeless, that are right on the edge. It's my take that that won't be the case. We see $20 more per night stays at private campgrounds. I can't imagine someone who's homeless paying that $60-$65 a night.
Right. And I did want to mention that also, in terms of transit occupancy taxes that already get collected, that additionally includes Airbnb rentals, things like that. Those, it's supposed to, at least. I can see Ed smiling.
Thank you for that. Some do, some don't.
Yes, in theory, they are also supposed to be collecting those funds. And currently, right now, the existing transit occupancy taxes goes to various different uses. I know when I was on the Willett City Council, you know, we partner with the Chamber of Commerce to support tourism for the Willits area. In Mendocino County, those taxes are matched by the County Board of Supervisors to encourage the Visit Mendocino promotions. So this has, you know, this has been an income source for encouraging people to come here. And so the question is just, if they come here and then they get in trouble, will they be contributing to the pot?
Yeah, well, this has been my main gripe about the TOT in the beginning, or all along, was that we actually spend a lot of that money towards telling them to come here, and they've spent none of that money actually making them safe. So that was always my problem. But that's... That we can't fix. That's the way that is. But this one, we can actually guide this money to the service that these people are using. And the fire department is the first people that are going to be out there to help them when they get into a situation that they shouldn't have. So.
Right, absolutely. So if you're just joining us, you are listening to local election coverage. We're discussing ballot measures D and E, and I'm joined today by Supervisor Ted Williams of the 5th District and retired Fire Chief Ed O'Brien from the Mendocino Volunteer Fire Department. So if we could talk a little bit more about the dollars and cents of this. You mentioned that it's going to be divided amongst 21 mm-hmm. organizations. So I don't know if this is something that you guys know, but what is the usual budget of a small volunteer fire department, and how much of an impact will this have?
It varies greatly. I think this may double Comsche's budget.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Won't make quite as much of an impact to Fort Bragg, but they need it as well.
Yeah.
It's a if it turns out to be what they're thinking that it would be, it would be somewhere around 10%, 8% of ours. So it's a significant amount of money, and you can pile it up to a particular thing to really get an idea about how much it is. Like, it would pay our workman's comp plus something, or mm-hmm. But it's the main thing is that some of these fire departments that have a smaller run, they have less calls, they have less people, but they still are going to have approximately the same big bite for their workman's comp.
Right.
You know, so just because you only did, 50, 60 calls a year, you're still going to have that coverage for your people. And so this will offset a lot of that. And so
no matter how few calls they have, when I drive through, I'd like to know that they have auto extrication gear.
Absolutely. Right. That they're going to take care of.
That they have vacuum splints, right? It's the same cost no matter how many calls they run.
Yes. And this is something that's, I always, in my shop, talk to firefighters when they come in, they notice my gear or something like this, and we strike up a conversation. They are absolutely still shocked at how far it was when they were traveling up here that mm-hmm. they left the last paid firefighter that was going to help them. And as they drive along, they're going from one district to another district to another district, and the abilities and the training, they just because you're on Highway 1, 128, of course, 128 is all Anderson
right,
Valley,
right.
But these other different districts, they are depending on those people having the ability to help them when something bad goes on. So no matter if they're staying at an inn or at a campground, the service they're going to get is about the same. And so it's just going to spread this out and help them. I think that's the main reason why the Fire Chiefs Association suggested the straight across, everybody equal. We've divvied up other monies before under some really interesting how many calls, how big, how this, how that. And it was fair, but this one just seemed right to make it so that everybody gets the same amount. It'll be
right.
significant for some fire departments and nice for others, but it's a good way of doing it.
And I should remind listeners that we are going to be opening up the phone lines here in just a minute. The number here, if you want to be part of this conversation, is 707-895-2448. And so we will be opening that up in just a minute. But before we do that, can you guys describe, having been in local government, I've got a fairly good idea about this, but many people don't realize how big the fire districts are. And, like what, for example, so Anderson Valley Fire, the boundaries that covers. If you could just sort of give us the
Valley's
scope.
Anderson Valley's district is enormous. I don't envy
says
them.
The supervisor from the fifth.
they share a line with Cloverdale on the south. And their district runs 128 all the way to the line with Albion. And the line with Albion is interesting because there's a park in the middle. It's no man's land. Albion's district ends about milepost 1.5, but Albion runs calls all the way out to 8.5. Anderson Valley, the same on the other side. The state doesn't contribute. We have traffic collisions. Mm-hmm. There's a state park there. People are out at the river. There are medical aids, and we can't tax it in any way. And
right,
so there are
wine tasting.
There are a lot of these examples of no man's land. No mm-hmm. fire district has a area of land in their district. But the answer can't be when 911 picks up a call, there's no fire district, right? So one of us will attend. I think Mendocino does the same with probably Russian Gulch and Van Dam.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there are a lot of state park land mm-hmm. in Mendocino Fire District's boundaries. We touch right up against Fort Bragg. We go halfway to Comsche, and we touch Albion at the airport road. These are boundaries that were made for our fire department in 1948, mm-hmm. and they were adjusted only slightly ever since then. Minor things like one creek versus another creek, because this used to be the bridge, now it's the bridge over here. So our boundaries are really clear, except for, and we go right into the ocean.
Right, and if and the department in Fort Bragg and Westport has to respond up to the Lost Coast.
Yes.
Laytonville, I know that there's, as we mentioned, there's the recognized agencies, but Laytonville has to cover all the way up to the border with Humboldt County, Spyrock, all those crazy, crazy areas. And I know that Bell Springs has a group of folks that help out, but it's not one of the official, you know, it's neighbors getting things done in their neighborhood. But it's certainly a vast area that, that you guys are covering.
Ours is rather, compared to some others, ours is very tight, meaning we have 5 miles by 5 miles by 8 miles, and that's about it for us. And so we are very lucky on that. We have a couple of different fire stations. I know Anderson Valley has 7, 8 fire stations.
Yeah.
Tucked around some people.
Albion has 5.
5, yeah.
And not, you know, maybe 50%, 60% larger than Mendocino's district. Right. But the nature of the rivers and the ridges and the way the roads curve, in order to keep properties insurable, it takes having certain equipment, essentially a recognized structure engine and 4,000 gallons on wheels within 5 road miles. And so you end up duplicating equipment and a bit of a game of buying equipment that may not have great practical use, but gets points towards maintaining insurance availability, which is always a struggle for the people, the volunteers. Do you put money towards what you know will help your neighbors, or do you put money towards what will allow them to get insurance? Young folks without with a mortgage are, you know, going to default if they don't keep their property insured. And so,
yeah, and in dealing with insurance, that's also a crisis, you know, that's coming up as far as people getting bumped off of their insurance, which I think could be its own whole program. But yeah, keeping healthy fire departments is critical to maintaining reasonable insurance rates, especially for wildfire. So we're going to be opening up the phone lines here in a minute. If you're just joining us, I am Holly Madrigal, and I am joined here by Supervisor Ted Williams and retired Fire Chief Ed O'Brien. So we are discussing Measure D and E, which will change the current code so that the transit occupancy tax that's currently paid by hotels and inns will now be expanded, if it passes, to include campgrounds and recreational vehicle parks. This is estimated to raise about $1 million annually, and it's going to be divided, if the advisory vote of Measure E passes, it's going to be divided 75% distributed evenly amongst the recognized fire agencies, and 25% to be spent on the recommendation of the fire chiefs. So if we will open up the phone lines and see if anyone would like to weigh in. Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is Ted. I grew up with Ted and Ed. I've known him for decades, and I just want to give a quick comment that big shout out and respect to Ted doing a great job, supervisor and past chief, and to Ed for doing an amazing job as fire chief for a long time, and to all our volunteers out there that are kicking some butt, saving lives, being on scene, first responding, all of it, and just for everybody to remember that they're putting their life on the line. They have families, they have jobs, other things going on, and they are completely doing huge help to the community, to all of them. So just a big shout out, respect all the volunteer fire departments. Thank you for the show. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Ted. Yeah, we should discuss the fact that most of the people out there are volunteers. You were talking about, you know, some places do have paid firefighters, and we have a couple few paid staff here in Mendocino County, but really the bulk of them are taking the time out of their day.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing to I never thought I was going to do this. This was not in my my job description when I started off. There's going to be a firefighter, but
you mean volunteer recruitment?
No, just to be doing this. So years ago, 40 some years ago, I joined the Historical Review Board, and at the same time, I joined the fire department. I figured if I was going to be trying to protect historic structures, I should try to actually physically try to protect them. So they went hand in hand for me, and it was a rather slow progression through the ranks. And so, but one of the most beautiful things that I got a chance to do was to bring new firefighters in and watch them experience the same thing of, yes, it's hard, and yes, it's not always nice what you get to go see, mm-hmm. but to have this feeling of accomplishment to help your town, to help your area, to meet people on one of their worst days and see if you can make their yeah. situation a little bit better. Whatever happened before you got the call. So you can't turn back the hands of time. You can just make it a little bit better from there. And every once in a while, it really works and you actually save somebody or something like that. But so it's been a wonderful experience for me and anyone in any parts of this county who ever thought that might be something they were interested in, I would really encourage them to go down to their local fire department and see what's available, see what it feels like, see what it's like before you jump in, but just go meet them. And
absolutely.
That's why the Mendocino Volunteer Fire Department does open house.
Right.
Open house in October is basically, it's a recruitment thing. It's basically trying to show your neighbors that this is something that they could do. You know, we kind of hide it with bringing children in, but when you bring children in, you bring young people in.
Okay, Ed, hold on 1 second, and we'll see if we can get this caller. Caller, you're on the air?
Hi, I'm just wondering if you can explain to us how much the tax would be. So if somebody was to spend a night someplace and spend X amount of dollars, how much more will they pay if this tax is enacted? Thank you for the show.
The tax is 10%, so if they stay in a local campground and spend $50 a night, we're looking at
30.
We're looking at $5. Ed is telling me maybe 30.
Yeah.
You know, it's a cup of coffee,
yeah.
or half a gallon of gas in Mendocino.
And we should mention that I had someone ask if there was guaranteed revenue. You know, if this measure passed, if we could say that, you know, guarantee that the fire department would get X amount of dollars. And the fact is that it's not. If there are no TOT, you know, if no one comes to visit Mendocino County for some reason, then, you know, that tax is not collected.
Yeah, you know, I was surprised when I heard the $1 million figure. Mm-hmm. I thought that can't be right. And the tax collector assured me they did a deep analysis. And they really do project it at being $1 million, maybe more. And
so that in some ways shows the fact that this loophole existed. You know, the fact that this wasn't being collected in the past does sort of show that
absolutely
that's income that has not been coming here.
It was left on the table. It was not something that was available to us, but the service was still being provided.
Okay, I think we've got another caller. Welcome, you're on KZYX.
I'm trying not to double dip, but I'm not sure. Am I getting a good connection now?
Yes. We can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, so I have three questions. One, does this include the Bureau of Land Management campgrounds like at Lake Mendocino?
No.
And or the federal campgrounds like out at Lake Hillsbury? Was my first question. And my second question is, is there any compensation from homeowners or car insurance companies when you do go and rescue folks or save their homes from further damage? And is that an avenue that we might be able to pull other revenue from besides just dinging people when they're coming here to camp? I just think that we need to maybe look in other places for the money. Since we're putting so much into insurance and not really getting much out of it, I think that's a way, and they have, you know, record profits. So I'd like to hear your take on that. Thanks.
The tax is only, it will only apply to private campgrounds. Other sources, a lot of fire districts in this county do have a special assessment today in the form of a parcel tax. In Albion, it's by unit, but it's essentially a single-family home pays about $150 per year.
Hmm.
It's not enough. You look at the amount of calls. You know, Albion's district, I think the high a couple years back was 220 incidents. Mendocino's is probably in the mid-300s.
Yes.
So you're getting at least one call per day. And some of these calls are quick. You show up at someone's house in the middle of the night, you help them, you're out of there within an hour. There are other calls that are hours, in some cases days. And you're using a lot of equipment that needs to be maintained. When firefighters get back from a fire, they've been out there all night. Well, the truck still needs to be restocked. The hose needs to be cleaned. Everything needs to be inventory checked for safety. That parcel tax isn't quite enough.
And my understanding is that the call volume, as you mentioned, Ed, that the call volume really has just gone up. I mean, I know Little Lake Fire and Willits, we've been in discussions with them about the ambulance crisis and the emergency services, and they're saying that they're, you know, the calls just keep going up and up every year, and it's really, you know, keeping those volunteers not wearing them out.
I think the biggest change happened when they instituted the 911 call. It impacted every fire district. Well, not every. A couple of them didn't. Comsche's barely made a budge up. But all the rest of them, it became a fix-it. It became a fix-it for where a person used to go over and see if the person needed help. Do that now, and this is ever since 911, it seems like people lost their ability to do that, and they instead go and call 911. And let the professionals take care of it.
Right. You mean as far as like asking your neighbor, which is maybe how it used to happen before then?
Yeah. I've gone to calls where people are laying down on the pavement and the person was hurt, and you finally get there and you say, "What hurts?" And basically they say, "I need to get up." Well, the people who were standing next to him probably could have done the same thing, but 911 changes that. So I'm not saying that all calls are like that, but you start throwing those calls into it, and it really does change it. So I think that a lot of the increase has been simply because we are more popular along the coast. More people come, more people just have more problems. And so that's a very big part of it for us. And so we have to address that.
So let me reintroduce you guys. You guys are listening to... we all are listening to local election coverage here on KZYX, and we're discussing measures D and E, and I'm joined by Supervisor Ted Williams of the 5th District and retired Fire Chief Ed O'Brien. And if you want to call in and be part of this conversation, you can reach us at 707-895-2448. I do have a question that someone sent in, which is... And Ted, you actually addressed this earlier, but let's revisit it again. How will this affect long-term residents of local campgrounds, such as folks who have lost their homes in the fires? I know we have some, specifically residents from Paradise, that have relocated here.
No impact on anyone staying in a campground 30 days or longer. No impact on anyone who has an agreement to stay 30 days or longer.
Exactly. Perfect. Thank you for that. So those residents from Paradise will not be affected, but it will affect one of the things that was mentioned in the language of the measure, recreational vehicles. Mm-hmm. So I know that those stays are not necessarily cheap. I've seen some recreational vehicles that are look like they're mansions on wheels, basically. So this will also have them pay in.
Yeah, I think it's important that everybody recognize that this is a tax that is going to be paid by people who are on vacation. They are traveling. I mean, they've saved up for this. This is part of their thing. They know how much it's going to cost them. They know about where they're going to go. And boy, if you're ever going to tax me when I'm on vacation. That's the one time I can actually save the money up and go.
Well, and for that $5 for the night, they're getting a team of EMTs, a water rescue crew, a cliff rescue crew, you know, folks trained to pull them out of a burning building. $5, it's a bargain.
Yeah.
And so if you could, Ted, if you could describe how this measure came to be. Oh, excuse me. We have a phone call, so I'm gonna get back to that. Welcome, caller. You're on the air.
Well, hi.
I would like to ask about the compliance of the Airbnbs and the vacation rentals and how you can get them to pay their fair share. Thanks.
Yeah, the county has been working on this over the last few years. And I mean, it's not that hard to find them. You go on Airbnb.com, type in one of our local towns, and you see a list. There has been an effort. There may be some that are using other sites for vacation rentals, and they haven't been taxed yet. But the county has put in significant effort to make sure everyone is paying their fair share. It's a good question.
It's an excellent question. It's an ongoing one. And in my town, in Mendocino, it's big. We're losing housing. We don't have firefighters because we don't have housing. So it's a big thing. How many of them are legal? How many of them are illegal? Pretty soon you just start, does it really matter anymore? Because it's just when the last guy out, turn out the lights. It gets really depressing sometimes, but it seems to be a growing way of travel.
Mm-hmm. And I do know that the county has been putting forth a significant effort to bring people into compliance. I also know that there's discussions about limits or moratoriums on those sorts of rentals. In theory, those types of rentals, whether it's VRBO or Airbnb or any of those kind of things, do pay TOT. You know, they should be paying TOT already. We reached out in looking for alternate, you know, views on this issue. We did reach out to some of the local glamping places, and they said that they are already covered under the TOT taxes. They're already paying those, so they don't fall in that category. Some questions were raised as to Hip Camp or some of those. It's basically a online platform for camping. I'm not sure how that would get affected or how many of those we have in the area. But
I don't know.
Yeah. Ted,
Ed, are you running a Hip Camp in your backyard?
Only when my grandkids come.
But Ted, what I was going to ask you before is, and how this got on the ballot and how, you know, what support you've been able to drum up. I know you've got some good endorsements.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Allman got right on it before he had even stepped out of the role of sheriff. He was already beginning to help us. And the Fire Chiefs Association and the Fire Districts Association have been there from day one. And this, you brought it up earlier, is this a solution? No, it's a Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. But it's the biggest Band-Aid we've found yet.
Right, and the fact that it is drawing from out-of-town visitors, Ed, of you has said, you know, that really is a key component. So it looks like we may have a caller. Hi, this is Holly. You're on KZYX.
Yes, hello.
Hi there.
Hi, I have two questions. One is, can any of this money be used for ambulance? Because there's been a lot of discussion about the problem of ambulance coverage throughout the county. And the second question is, I didn't know that Anderson Valley had 5 fire stations or that the area. I grew up in Laytonville, and there's 1 fire department and 1 ambulance to cover from Leggett to Comtrey to Westport. That region is so huge. And if it's going to be the division of the wealth, if Anderson Valley has 5 fire departments, are they each one going to get the $37,000?
No,
is only going to get $37,000? You know, how do you,
five stations,
you know, consider the depth and the quantity of the coverage? You know, how do you compensate for the larger surface area that the northern counties got to cover? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Great, thank you.
Anderson Valley has 1 fire department. They just happen to have multiple locations. They spread out their equipment so that when there's a call, say it's a fire, they want to have a truck that doesn't have to drive from Rancho Navarro to Yorkville.
Right.
But they're only going, they only count as 1 as far as attacks. They're going to get $37,000, the same as Laytonville.
Right. That's important to clarify that even though there's 1 fire department, they'll have separate they'll have separate buildings on other properties where they can keep engines and equipment.
The other question about the funds going to ambulance. No, the way the measure has been architected, this is specific for fire. I want to say volunteer fire. There are a couple of departments with some paid folks, but it's really rural volunteer fire. the $1 million would fall short of fixing the ambulance problem. The county is still trying to work out exactly what the ambulance situation would require in funding, but it's up there in the millions.
Okay. I think it's important to kind of focus on one issue at a time, and that's basically what this measure does. It really does bring it to one job, one kind of a person helping, and I think that's later on after we fix this one, we'll work on the next one.
And I will say fire departments, if there isn't an ambulance available, fire departments can rescue a patient to a hospital or meet an ambulance halfway, and that happens.
And they're often first on the scene. Okay, it looks like we have another caller. Caller, welcome to KZYX.
Thank you. This is Dorothea Dorman. I'm asking about the poisoned dead trees that have been left standing in violation of the taxpayers' wishes. And I was wondering if the fire departments could get together and join with the county and sue the company for leaving those poisoned trees in fire. The firefighters are going to be breathing the poison smoke. They shouldn't be allowed to poison anything at all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Supervisor Royal, do you want to take that one?
Well, we don't want fire departments involved in litigation. Fire departments are apolitical. They need to be. We pull from a fair sampling of the community. You have folks in fire departments who work in the timber industry. And that should be the case. You want everyone at the table. It's one place where we leave politics behind and we just help our neighbors. I understand the angst about the voters passing a law and the county not following through. You need three votes at the Board of Supervisors. From open session, from looking across the room, I don't think we've had three in favor of the county taking action. Now, that doesn't stop citizens from taking action. Measure V is the law. There's no question. County Council has openly said it is law. Residents could certainly use the courts to enforce it.
And because of the involvement of the fire departments, it does not directly, at least, relate to these measures that we're discussing today. And I actually do want to take a moment to reintroduce you guys. If you're just joining us, we are discussing Measure D and E. This is in regards to TOT taxes being extended to campgrounds and short-term rentals. There's an advisory vote only, that's what Measure E is, that will direct that those funds collected from the TOT be distributed to recognized fire agencies. And so I've got Supervisor Ted Williams and retired Fire Chief Ed O'Brien here to discuss the issue here.
And Holly, if you'd ever like to do a show about Measure V, mm-hmm. that might be a better place to discuss it. Mm-hmm. Maybe we spend an hour and maybe you can get Mendocino Redwood to come on air.
I know that a number of people have concerns about, as citizens, they see actions that they want to see enforced. So I think that would absolutely be a really interesting show.
I just want to kind of remind everybody that this is coming up on the March ballot. Mm-hmm. So this is coming up pretty soon. If you want to talk more, not on the air, but if you want to call the local fire departments and talk about it and see if it really matters to them, go ahead and do it. They're very accessible to this. But the key is you get to vote on it in March. And it's going to be a ballot issue like a lot of others, but just don't forget that. It's going to mean money to your local fire department.
Ed, thank you for bringing that up, because this election is coming up much faster than a lot of people think. There's been some changes made to the ballot calendar. So, this primary is really right around the corner. So it is not too late to register to vote. The last day to register for this election is February 17th. I believe the absentee ballots start coming out at the beginning of February, like right around February 3rd. So if you have moved or changed your address or you've had some other significant change, it's worth checking in with the Mendocino County, the elections office, just to make sure that you're still registered there, because this is going to be an important vote. And so Election Day is March 3rd.
And anyone who would like to help, the fire departments are already strapped for time, and the fire districts are apolitical. They can't be directly campaigning. Mm-hmm. Former Sheriff Tom Allman is working on getting some signs together, I believe, this week. I won't give out his cell number on air because everyone already has it.
and if people want to contact him,
please,
on Facebook,
please,
they can do
if, so. If you're willing to get involved in campaigning and helping this pass, reach out to one of us.
Perfect. It looks like we have another caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you. I wanted to reflect on the enforcement of what was Measure B. And it is my, you're talking about something like that being political. And I want to say that at the point that the election is over, it's no longer a matter of politics. It's a matter of practicality and enforcement. And the law is the law, and we all have to face the facts, you, me, including the logging company. This is one of the few counties in the state that does not even have a logging tax, where the county gets so many dollars per log. We just let them have it and haul it away and ruin our countryside. And so somewhere here, the Board of Supervisors and the Planning Department has to grow a backbone and get the job done, and I really appreciate it when that day happens. Thanks.
Which I'm curious, which district do you live in?
I think we might have lost that person, but I do want to take you up on your suggestion that it sounds like this is a issue that could potentially be a show all on its own, because we know that people are interested in it, and the KZOX's program director is here in the room, so she's hearing this feedback. It looks like we have another call. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. My question is this tax applicable to other counties? Does Sonoma County have the transient occupancy tax or Lake County?
Most counties make a difference for
people, but, is this fair?
Most counties do. In fact, if you go to Sonoma County and spend the night in a private campground, you're going to pay their TOT.
Humboldt also.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about Lake County.
We've been an exception.
Yes.
And in regards to getting the word out, I want to encourage, in addition to registering to vote, I want to encourage people to make their voices heard in terms of, the things that they care about. So I also publish a local food magazine, so I'm a believer in the printed word, and I'm a believer in letters to the editor. So if you have feelings on this issue, on measures D and E, if you are interested in seeing this pass and having some funds go to our local fire departments, or if you have an opposition view, you can write into our local papers, letters to the editor. And I believe online, I believe Mendo Voice and some of our online organizations do that as well, that if you want to share your opinion and support, as you mentioned, fire departments are restricted from advocating. Can you talk about that a little bit?
The firefighters on their own time, which for volunteers is an interesting question.
They're always on the clock.
They can campaign as much as they wish. What we can't do is use fire district funds for Correct. Buying signs or radio ads or so forth. I would ask, if you're not sure about whether you want to support this tax, go check out your local volunteer fire department. Ask them what tools they need. Look at the condition of their equipment. Ask them why they think this might be a good idea or why it might not. And what I think you'll hear is they desperately need the money. They're using, if we talk about compliance, I don't think there's a fire department in this county that's 100% compliant. If you want to play by all the rules, you might as well give up and not respond to calls. And we're picking and, we're looking at the priorities. What will keep our people safe? What will protect the public the best? But, we don't have the sort of equipment that we should in a lot of cases, simply because we're strapped for funds.
Absolutely.
Except, I don't know, you talk about Mendocino, Ed. How are you guys doing?
We don't break any laws.
And fully in compliance, I might
fully
add.
Fully in compliance.
One of the things, this is unrelated to the ballot measure, but I love that Mendocino County still has the fire whistle.
Yes.
Willits used to have that same whistle that would go off at noon or if there was fire calls, and I kind of miss it. And so I love when I'm in the village, and I don't love that there's a fire call, but I you can hear it.
Ours is something that fire departments don't like to give up anything that they're used to. They just hold on to it dearly. And so when the 911 came along and the volume of calls came up, that siren was going off two or three times a day sometimes. And being in town and getting to the firehouse, and you're watching these people across the street just mm-hmm. being shredded by this sound.
And the dogs.
And you know that it's because somebody fell down on Main Street. And that's really, really hard to do. So it took us a long time to convince everybody that we didn't need the siren mm-hmm. for a medical call.
Right.
So if we just took that off the table, that was 80% of our calls. So when you hear it now, it's generally, there are some exceptions, but generally it's a fire,
mm-hmm.
it is a automobile accident out on the highway, or it's a water rescue. And that means that people will pay more attention to it. We pulled people out of the water who were just about ready to give up, and they said, "I heard the siren, and I knew you were coming." And so there are things like that that make it worth other people being harmed across the street from the firehouse. But in general, it's still there, and it can be heard sometimes for miles away.
And we know that traditional communications methods in a severe emergency, like the fires that we had in Redwood Valley, do not always work. Yeah.
We wouldn't be able to run ours, though. There's no hand crank on that one. Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a serious problem, and I know one that fire departments and different agencies are dealing with separately from that. One of the things that just came up in my mind was CAL FIRE. So CAL FIRE is not will not be receiving these funds, correct? So we're talking about our local fire agencies, not statewide or federal.
CAL FIRE is a great partner. If you have a wildland fire, you want CAL FIRE there.
Mm-hmm.
They have a model of pulling resources from all over the state to an incident. But CAL FIRE typically doesn't have auto extrication gear. They're not cutting you out of a car. Mm-hmm. Historically, they haven't staffed stations year-round. And so in the winter months, you have a chimney fire. You may not be getting CAL FIRE.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay, it looks like we might have another caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking this call. I just want to say I think it's unfortunate that we almost have to apologize for thinking about having a transit tax. If you look at some of the states where their major industry is tourism, they have huge transit tax. I lived in Florida for about 3 years, and one of the things that they used to do is around November even announce on the radio, the major invasion has started. Smile, they're paying our taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So for us to not, it's not taking advantage of people to provide services that we have to pay for. They should be paying for them. Every place else where there's major tourism, they are paying for it. So thank you for taking the call.
Thank you.
Okay.
And yes, I think, Ted, that was your point, that, these are services that are being used, and it only makes sense to cover that, to pitch in.
Yeah, today you have senior citizens that are on fixed incomes. They're paying for the visitor's emergency services.
That's right.
Yeah, so the services that you will receive if you're on, Mendocino County roads and something happens and you end up in the creek, this would be going to help that. So I just want to thank you both, Ted Williams, supervisor from the 5th District, and retired fire chief Ed O'Brien. Thank you both for making the trip on those very same roads to come talk about this measure. There is a number of measures on the ballot, and I know that KZYXNZ is doing their best to put together shows to discuss them so that people can weigh in and make their opinions heard. There's a number of bond measures, I believe, on this election, as well as some other things, and as well as supervisorial district elections coming up. So we want to make sure that all of you listeners are registered to vote. That election is going to be March 3rd, and the last day to register for that is February 17th. There are many things that you can get informed about, including a candidates' night this evening. Did you want to share?
Sure. Yeah, there's that candidates forum tonight. This is Alicia again. I'm at the board engineering today. Tonight, there's a candidates forum for the first and second district supervisors. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. It's at the Ukiah City Council Chambers, and we are going to be live broadcasting it here on KZYX. So we are doing our best to bring you election coverage for this. You're right, the election is coming up fast and furious in like 5 weeks on March 3rd. We have one more call. Do you want to take it before we finish?
Sure. Go ahead. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm sorry, I have to correct you. It's 3 weeks from today. The 18th of February is the last day to vote.
Oh, okay.
Not to register, not the 17th. It's the 18th.
Thank you for that.
And you can register online at registertovote.ca.gov.
And I would also want to encourage, thank you for that correction. So it's the 18th of February that's the last day to register. If you're in doubt, I would go to a polling place on election day and fill out a supplemental ballot. You know, it's better safe than sorry if you're not sure about that. So we were just talking about the candidates forum. So today we've been discussing ballot measures D and E that will be dealing with TOT taxes. There's actually going to be a discussion of that this evening as well at the candidate forum. Chief Doug Hutchinson from Ukiah will be having a very similar conversation to the one that we're doing today. So if you didn't feel comfortable sharing your question on the air, you are more than welcome to come to that. Also, they'll have the candidates for First District Supervisor, James Green, Glenn McCordy, John Kennedy, and John Sakowitz, as well as the candidates for Second District Supervisor, Mo Mulheron, Joe Sanilla, and Mari Roden. So it's we're going to have a full a day of election information. So again, I want to thank you two for coming. Do you want to add ways that people could contact you if they are interested in becoming a volunteer fire department?
My cell number is 937-3500.
Okay, so if you want to call Ted, that is how to reach him.
And, you know, I'm on the road a lot these days, and we don't have great phone coverage. If you don't reach me, send a text.
Yeah. Texts often get through.
I have no idea what my phone number is. I have one, but it's easier to just catch me at the Compass Rose. I'm there most of the time. Matter of fact, this is probably the furthest I've been away from home this year.
Ed drove me today, and of course I'm worried I don't have all my fire gear with me. Nobody knows, but when I go to Board of Supervisors, I leave an hour early because I figure tree down, somebody's stranded, of traffic collision. I come across them all the time, and I don't think people realize all the firefighters are stopping throughout the county at emergency situations, giving up hundreds of hours per year.
And you can call the Mendocino Volunteer Fire Department at 707-937-0131. And again, I just want to thank you both. My name's Holly Madrigal. I got brought in to discuss this ballot issue, but I really appreciate you taking the time, and to all the callers who called in.